Well, let's see what's going on beyond the headlines now. And, of course, to do that, we turn to Peter Dykstra. Peter's an editor with Environmental Health News, that's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. On the line now from Atlanta. Hey there, Peter. How you doing and what you got for us?
Well, hi, Steve. There's a story that is a nexus between the COVID pandemic and an environmental crisis in Indonesia, where rescued orangutans are being returned to the wild despite a COVID risk because they're so similar in DNA to humans.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of zoonotic diseases, and I'm thinking of HIV, for example, are found in the primates. But wait, these are rescued orangutans. So what's the problem?
Groups like the Borneo Orangutan Survival Foundation are looking to repopulate the wild. Bornean orangutans are down to about 100,000. That's a fraction of their original population. Palm oil plantations, other farms, wildfires, poaching are all claiming orangutan populations. COVID is a new threat, and in order to guard orangutans from too much human contact, instead of driving the orangutans about 3 days into the jungle, they're bringing them in by helicopter.
Well, this is good news. I'm glad to see orangutans getting a chopper ride to avoid getting COVID and actually probably then spreading it among other orangutans once they got back into the wild. Hey, what else do you have for us today, Peter?
Well, glyphosate has been much in the news. A lot of lawsuits, judgments for millions, if not billions of dollars from people who say they've been made sick from glyphosate, now the most common weed killer anywhere in the world. There's a study coming out of the West Indies that suggests a problem we weren't aware of, that glyphosate use on banana plantations could be releasing an old banned pesticide into the environment.
Wait, how's that supposed to happen? I mean, a new chemical releases an old one? How do you do that?
Well, glyphosate is essentially a defoliant. It takes down all sorts of vegetation. When that vegetation leaves and the soil is exposed, the erosion takes place, and in that erosion, old residues of a chemical called chlordecone, a probable carcinogen, is released into the waters and the land in places like Guadeloupe and Martinique in the West Indies.
Okay. So they call things like chlordecone a persistent organic pollutant, and I guess it was locked up in the soil there until the use of glyphosate started the erosion. How big a deal is this, Peter?
It stays dangerous for a long time, and we don't know exactly how big a deal is it. There are suggestions that it's found in other crops in Europe. They're just beginning to look for it, although the chemical chlordecone is also known by another name, capone. It's a likely carcinogen. It was outlawed in the U.S. in the 1970s. Some folks may remember a major capone spill in the James River, where not only a stretch of miles and miles of that historic river were polluted, but about 100 factory workers were made sick by capone pollution.
Hey, what do you have from the history books for us this week?
Well, 30 years ago next week, a federal court rewarded a huge payout for Alaska fishermen and others whose livelihoods were damaged by the Exxon Valdez oil spill. That was 2 years after the 1989 spill. The initial judgment was for about $5 billion. Exxon spent 2 decades and a lot of lawyers' money peeling it down. The punitive damages were eventually knocked down to just over $500 million. That was split between 32,000 plaintiffs, individuals, companies, governments, and of course their lawyers. But the payouts didn't happen until 2008, 19 years after the spill, by which time 20% of the original plaintiffs had died.
Boy, what a case study of that old aphorism, justice delayed is justice denied. Thanks, Peter. Peter Dykstra is an editor with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. We'll talk again next week.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
And there's more on these stories on the Living on Earth website. That's loe.org.